Drama.
Fashion.
Podcast. And who are we?
That's one secret we'll never tell.
XOXO.
Girls Room.
Hey, Upper East Siders. Girls Room here. The one and only podcast about the scandalous lives of Manhattan's elite. I'm Julia Gray. I have my co-host with me, slash frenemy, Drew Haskins.
Hi, everyone.
And we have a very special guest today, London-based musician and Gossip Girl fan whose second album, It's Over, is out this month on Zeppelin Records. Tatiana, welcome to Girls Room.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you may be our first musical guest.
Oh, cool.
No, I think second, because we had Spencer from Charlie Blue.
Yeah, we had Spencer from Charlie Blue. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to get into a truly incredible episode of TV.
Iconic episode, yeah, for sure.
So what is your relationship with Gossip Girl in total?
Well, I was like, I watched it when it came out, when it, I was sort of trying to figure out when that was exactly, but I must have been about 12, 13, I don't know, something along those lines. But it was like a huge thing for me. It didn't air in the UK. So I somehow, I don't know how I found out about it, but I would like, I was like looking at links, you know, to stream it on. I was like doing like early kind of torrenting. I don't know what I was doing, but I was like, I had to get my fix. Like I was watching it the day, I guess probably like the day after it would air in the States. And yeah, I mean, this happened to me with like a few TV shows, with Glee as well. I remember like my friends being like, why, what are you watching? Like, what is this? Like, yeah, I was just an early adopter, you know? So, I adopted Gossip Girl early for the UK before it kind of hit the Brits. I was really obsessed. I remember like going on like forums to like discuss the episode afterwards. I was like, what guys, what did you think?
Oh my God, you were fans.
I was a fan. Yeah, I loved it. It was
for shining a light on across the pond torrent culture too, because I had the exact same experience using a horrible site that probably like destroyed my computer called gorillavid.net to watch Skins.
I was just going to say Skins. I was going to say I bet we had the same experience, but for Skins.
Yeah.
We call the UK Gossip Girl. No, more like the UK Degrassi, but I digress.
Yeah. Another perfect show though.
Perfect. Oh, we should do Degrassi next.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it was just, you know, when you're that age, and kind of glitz and glamour of the Upper East Side, you know, it was, all seems just so like amazing and cool. Mm-hmm. And very like foreign to me. I was like, whoa, like what's going on in New York, you know? So,
yeah. So how do you think the show holds up after watching this episode in 2024?
I think the first season of Gossip Girl is just like perfect. Like there's not a, like every beat, they hit every beat, every episode is like flawless. There's no plot kind of issues just yet, you know, like I loved it. I mean it holds up. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of got this indie sleaze sort of revival thing going now, but I think it's great.
Totally. Yeah, I like how you said yet, no plot issues yet. Like the first season we were saying in previous episodes, like they really set it up well and they define the characters well, and then as the show goes on we run into some issues, but right now we're really in the sweet spot.
This is the perfect, like, yeah, the first season's just like perfect television. You really can't fault it. I just watched this episode with my boyfriend, and he'd never seen it, and he was just like, whoa, like, let's watch the next one, you know, like he
boyfriends have never seen Gossip Girl. If I know one thing about boyfriends,
he missed out.
I'm so sad for them.
Yeah, at least it's easy to watch now and so streamable. Like for the podcast, I cannot binge episodes. It doesn't work with how we talk about it. But like the temptation I have to press play on three more episodes mm-hmm. every time I finish the one that we're supposed to be talking about for this week is, it's too much. Like it's candy. I could just watch the whole thing at once. It's
I so could bad. Put away like a full work day's worth of Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna have to like follow along with you guys as you go through it.
Please do.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there needs to be more analysis on this like gem, kind of a forgotten gem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, or not forgotten because they redid it. But
I try to just pretend that didn't happen.
That's the forgotten one. Yeah. No, exactly. We should forget that, and this should be
magic. It was like everything about it is like of its time, like the music obviously, and the fashion, and yeah, it made like stars of all these like actors too, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was a special time. 2007, is that right?
Yeah, 2007.
What a time. Oh my god, and there's an iconic 2007 reference in this episode that we will get to, but I just put two and two together. This was the year that I guess sneak peek, Britney with the Umbrella. That was 2007.
Yeah.
That was 2007.
What's funny is I was going to recreate that like iconic paparazzi shot for my album art.
God, I love that.
But in the end, my label were like, you know what? Like maybe you don't need to stir the pot too much. But it was, yeah, just like such a iconic photograph, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know they kind of recreated it in their own photo shoot in the show.
They did. I mean, we'll get into it, but I love on any TV show when there are fake modeling scenes or just like we see any characters try to model. I just rewatched an old episode of Vanderpump Rules where like all these like 35-year-old like wash up models are like modeling for a catalog in Orange County and like in like doing like America's Next Top Model, like smizing and like posing and stuff. I was like, oh my god, like I could watch Gossip Girl, I could watch like 20 more hours of just this footage. Like it's perfect. Yeah, stuff.
It really is.
Minecraft services, I still don't like somehow that reference is I still don't know what it is. I sort of vaguely know what it is. It's like food.
Yeah, it's like granola bars. Like granola bars for free. Yeah.
It's like free stuff they have on set.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like way more luxurious, you know? Like,
sure.
So if you like
some. Yeah, I'm sure for some photo shoots it is, but I bet Eleanor was serving up like water and grapes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Grapes. She loves grapes.
She loves a berry and low-fat yogurt, as we
as we know. Yeah, for sure.
So one question we ask all of our guests is, which Gossip Girl are you?
Yeah, I had a feeling this question was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. I actually asked my boyfriend what he thought, because I was like, you know, you have to like you have to kind of understand the kind of iconic yin and yang of Serena and Blair, you know. But I think, yeah, it's a tricky one, you know. I mean, I'm probably like a Jenny, but Jenny's not in this episode. I'm gonna claim like 70% Blair, because I'm such a hater. Like I'm kind of a hater, and like Blair's like she's just like she loves to kind of disparage things and like put people down, and not that I'm like as hunty as Blair is, like who can be, you know, she's on another level. Yeah, just the kind of she's got the like soul of a hater, and I kind of relate to that a little bit. But then I also don't brush my hair like Serena, you know. So,
yeah. I Love that. Soul of a hater. I think you really nailed it on why I also relate to Blair. Because I have the soul of a hater, and she does it. I mean, you know, I'd like to think I have the sweetness that Serena seems to exude, but I really, at my core, I am a judgmental little bitch.
She's kind of like a realist, though. Like, she's just like Serena's like a positive, fundamentally like a positive, like almost like utopian type of person. Like, she believe in the kind of believe in love and believe in like the best in people. And Blair's like, no, like everyone sucks, and I can see right through you. And I feel like that's like my Russian, I'm half Russian, that's like my Russian side just like comes out. And I'm like, no, I'm like clairvoyant. I'm like, I don't buy it.
I mean,
yeah.
Serena's never had a problem. So that's, I think
none of them have.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and the other thing, obviously, too, she's Blair and her mother, you know, I mean, sure, we'll get into that. But I mean, I have some mommy issues, you know, so I can relate to that, like, complicated, you know, dynamic that they have, I guess. Not in the same way, like, mine's much less, much more tame, you know, just having a Russian mother is in and of itself, it's a kind of experience, you know, but yeah. Feels like a kind of thematically, yeah, kind of relatable episode for me in some ways, you know? Yeah.
So another question we ask everyone, who is your Gossip Girl boyfriend?
Yeah. I mean, rewatching it, I had to like, I like couldn't really believe that, like, I can't really believe I'm going to say this, but it is Dan. I was definitely, yeah, I really liked Dan, but like now, like watching it back, like Dan is just such a loser. Like, he's such a loser. Like, he's whiny, like kind of, yeah, like a whiny prick. And like Nate is right there, you know, he's like the golden retriever boyfriend. And like, why wouldn't you? I don't know. Yeah. But Dan like had my heart. Like, when I was like, yeah, like when I was a tween, you know, I was like, he's a writer. He's like different, you know?
And now you see Dan's out in the wild every single day of your life. And it's not quite as special anymore. I'm still a Dan. I love Dan still, though. It's Nate, I think, to me episode, is the tiny one.
This episode in particular, Dan kind of comes off like a little poorly, but in general, like throughout this, like throughout the series, I really vibed with, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a
cute, you know.
Yeah, it's like a pick your poison, you know. They're all annoying in different ways. Like, do you want the stuck up, I don't know if you'd call Dan stuck up, he's snobbish, like the snob. He's
definitely pretentious.
Yeah, he's like super moralistic and like yeah, something.
Yeah, or the like spiritually lost golden retriever Nate. He's so lost in this episode.
He's so lost. I mean, he literally gets lost in lost. Yeah.
I mean, there's so much diet, like everything that comes out of Nate's mouth this episode, I'm like, honey, like please, like no, like just don't say that. Yeah.
So before we get into actually talking about Gossip Girl, we want to hear a little bit about your new album. What can listeners expect?
This is my, this is my second album. It's called It's Over. It's like an electro synth pop funk record, inspired by Detroit house from the 90s, but like with like pop songs in the mix. And yeah, it's kind of about a sort of non-relate, like a situationship, I guess, like a non-relationship that occurred in my life, but it's like more than that, because it's more about like a point of view, you know. Like, It's Over kind of comes from like the meme, you know, like it's over, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about that like point where you're like, oh my god, like what's happening, what's going on. Mostly kind of in the framework of relationships, you know, like looking at like modern love and like through the, yeah, just sort of how alienating it can be in our society, like right now, like with through dating apps, through like all these different things, you know, to have like sort of like a, it's like a jaded take on love, but there's like a, like, you know, there's like a light at the end of the tunnel. It comes, you kind of comes full circle and come back, you know, we're back, we get back to good. Yeah, but yeah, it's fun, and it's, I'm really excited about it. It's coming out in a couple weeks on March 22nd. Yeah,
it's definitely a lot of fun. Julia and I have had the privilege of getting to listen to it, and Down Bad is one of my absolute favorite songs of the year so far, and that's already out, so people can listen to it. That's the rest of it is so good, like very, very excited for the full thing to come out. So
yeah, I'm pumped. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
So who were your musical it girls, if you were like artists who inspired your music, and also does Gossip Girl, like does the music of Gossip Girl influence you in any way, or like do you like, is this music you love?
I used to like, I would go and like look up all the, I mean, the songs on the show like were in on my iPod, you know, like I was, they like put me onto so much stuff, you know, I mean, they really, yeah, I mean that whole era of music, you know, the Strokes, I remember the Ting Tings, like they used, I mean, they were playing all these tracks that like are just, I, whoever was their music supervisor is like a genius, like they just like absolutely nailed it. But yeah, I mean, LCD Sound System, you know, I'm sure they've, this episode actually I was kind of like, oh damn, like I know that it didn't quite cut, there wasn't quite like as many songs that I was like, oh, this was like such a big moment for me listening to it, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'm pop kind of stars that I like. I mean, Robin has always been a huge inspiration for me. Yeah, just, you know, the Swedish pop girls, just they know how to do it, you know. Charlie XCX, of course, you know.
Yeah, there really is something in the water in Sweden where they just have had pop songcraft down perfectly for 50 years now. It's just, it's insane. It's really, really insane.
In like a language that isn't their own language.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. They've got the formula.
Yeah. Okay. Should we get into the episode?
I would love to. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
Let's do it. Drew, do you want to do last week or this week?
Sure, I'll do last week.
Okay.
So in last week's episode, we had the Ivy Mixer. Blair and Serena battled it out on the field hockey field wearing chunky Marnie belts. Blair told everyone Serena's a former drug addict after Chuck saw her visiting Eric at the hospital. But then at the end of the episode, Blair in a floppy hat, Serena made up. Dan wooed the Dartmouth rep at the mixer while Nate ditched the function and told his daddy he doesn't want to fall in his footsteps. Perfect episode of TV.
It really was. I mean, such a good episode.
Yep.
I think we said last week, but hard to believe all those things happened in one episode. This is another such episode, though, where there's a lot going on. So this week, Spotted, Blair's mom is back from Paris and she's toxic as ever. She asked Blair to model her new clothing line, but the plan rips apart at the seams during the photo shoot, which we'll get into later. Serena continues to reschedule her dates with Dan and he is getting completely fed up. Meanwhile, Nate and Chuck indulge in a boys' weekend gone wrong. So we got a lot to chew on this week and we have a lot to grade on our Gossip Girl report card.
Mm.
I feel as though we should start with Blair.
I agree. I agree.
This episode, right? I mean, it's like there's so much like character development. She's really vulnerable and like, yeah, you see like a kind of different side to her. They're really like giving her the backstory that you need to like fall in love with this character, because you can see why she kind of is the way she is, you know.
I mean, they totally humanize her. The episode's called Bad News Blair.
It is
after all.
I gave her a C- for this episode. With that being said, I agree. I thought it was really nice that they shaded in her relationship with her mom a lot more. I also, because in the first three episodes, Blair and Serena have been fighting the whole time, it was nice to have an episode where you actually see why these two people are friends and what was lost by them fighting with each other. And this did a great job. But Blair didn't. Blair took a lot of L's this episode, which, and her mom is a nightmare.
Oh my God. She really, oof, what a harsh woman. Tatiana, what did you grade it? Or Blair?
I gave Blair a B. I mean, my favorite Blair is like bitchy Blair, cunty Blair, like nasty Blair, but, I guess she is my favorite character, and I just love watching her. I love watching Leighton Meester play her, and I can't really, and like as I said, she felt very like vulnerable and small and like human to me, and then also she did take some L's, but then, you know, Dan gave her the little pep talk at the end, and she was brave, and she kind of, you know, she basically told her mom to fuck off, you know, and. I'm not a very harsh grader. I think I saved my grades for like the boys, you know, but
yeah. You kind of have to, they all deserve
it. They're all getting D's from me, but Blair's getting B for Blair. But yeah, I thought she was kind of sweet, and, it was nice to see a different side to her, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that analysis makes me want to change my grade. But I did give her a C minus because I feel like she took a lot of L's.
Yeah.
I mean, as we said, she's constantly can you hear me?
Yep.
My mic just anyway. She's constantly losing to Serena, which just as a former kind of second fiddle. I felt, and I just, she is so deserving of first fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And she continues to get the short end of the stick because Serena is blonde. But, you know, that's kind of what happens when you're on this show.
And in life, I mean, it's blonde privilege rearing its ugly head once again.
I don't know if I believe in that in 2024, though. I feel like who is a big blonde right now?
Blake Lively.
He's Sydney Sweeney.
Oh yeah, Sydney Sweeney.
Goddamn Swift. What am I talking about?
Swift. No,
literally the biggest.
They, you know, they have a permanent place in the landscape. But no, I see what you're saying. Yeah, Serena did kind of leave her in the dust. That's true.
She doesn't even try, as Blair said. Like, it's just who she is.
Made laugh, ha ha, and. Yeah, gets away with it.
I mean,
oh yeah, not going to Julia.
I was just going to say at the top of the episode, she's not even the star of her own dream. Like, she is, of course, so true to the character, obsessed with Audrey Hepburn, and she's dressed as Audrey in her nightmare, and she sees Serena laughing with her little minions in the window of Bendel's. It was rough. It was a rough start to a, you know. I don't know. And then she wakes up, her mom's back from Paris, and who is having brunch with her in the living room? It's Serena.
Yeah.
She is, you know, even lost her mom to Serena.
That's Serena broke into the apartment this week in a stunning.
That girl's up early. Like, she's up for breakfast, and then she's like, when she calls Blair to leave that voicemail, and like, damn, she's like, she's an early riser, you know. Blair needs to set that alarm off a little bit.
Way up.
I mean, at work, Serena just like needs to
chill.
Yeah, Serena's really showing her codependence. Like, you can wake up and have a moment to yourself, Serena.
Everyone in this episode was codependent. Like, Blair and her mom clearly have a very push-pull codependent dynamic when where they're together. They're inseparable, but in the public eye, they're constantly trying to like humiliate each other, or like Blair's trying to be like totally subservient and do what her mom wants. The way that Blair's mom dommed her with this croissant plate and the yogurt was so upsetting to watch. So well, this, upsetting.
This stuff, like, I did not pick up on when I was a young teen watching it. For some reason, the like all the ED stuff kind of just swept right by me. But watching it now, I'm like, oh yeah, they like pretty heavy-handedly are like, you know, Blair has an eating disorder, and she like, and her mom gave it to her, you know. It's like very like, it's right there, you know. Yeah, full fat yogurt, honey, you know.
God, I mean, just so sad. And
Serena's eating a croissant, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Serena like slowly puts down the croissant. Oh God. I mean, yeah, from the top of the episode we see everyone loves Serena more than Blair, even her mom. And then Eleanor, later in the episode, she asks Blair to model her new line because at one point she says she hates the American Apparel effect. And
my God, I wrote that down. Yes.
So funny. So of the time. And yeah, she wants like a preppy, elegant woman to model her stuff. And who else but Blair?
But Blair's not much of a model, it must be said. I mean, it's, as a devoted America's Next Top Model watcher, I don't think Blair would not make it out of boot camp. She would not be invited to the house.
I would say that they did. They really set her up for that. You know, I mean, they put her in that awful dress, like the like when they were doing the test shot. You know, and they've got her in this like I don't know, like a black. It's like a tight corset. She can't move in that dress, you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of corsets over dresses this week.
Flowy beach dress, you know. And of course she's gonna, yeah. And I mean it's obviously like a kind of just good TV, you know. They know how to like visually explain the storyline, you know. So yeah, the genius as well. Yeah.
I've got to say, the before they go to the photo shoot, they're in Blair's room practicing. And we see Serena has, Tatiana, we have talked about before on the show, Jenny has this accent disease where she can't deliver a line normally. She puts on this accent it's not location-based.
Right.
It's...
It's just it, like she'll say like, you know, you want to, like something like really strange,
to be honest. So I think I have the same disease. I often because I lived in the States, but yeah, my accent kind of rapidly moves between random kind of
I'd say yours is very consistent.
Okay. I appreciate that.
With Jenny, it's just she every kind of third word she sounds like she's AI or something.
It's because she's a singer, she's not an actor, you
that's
know?
A good point.
Yeah,
good point. I mean, in this scene Serena says you got to put your hand on your hip and you got to pop, that's how you got to do it. Very I don't know what she's trying to, I don't know if she forgot the line and then kind of came back in.
She's trying to do a little hip hop affect, I think, which is not something Blake Lively should be doing.
They were doing like Legally Blonde, you know, like the bend and snap kind of thing.
Yeah,
between the two, and that's why it sounds like a robot who just discovered fashion.
Ultimately, it was good advice. And Serena clearly knows how to model because the only time that Blair actually lets loose at the shoot is when Serena is there with her.
Yeah.
And that's when we see the Britney umbrella.
When we have Britney with the umbrella. Blair is so stiff. She's stiff as a board. She can't loosen up. And Serena's on the set and comes over and they end up taking photos of both of the girls being all silly and laughing and roaring at the camera. And yeah, of course, she yells out, Britney with the umbrella. And they act out Britney with the umbrella. I don't remember who's Britney and who's a car. Do we remember? I think maybe Blair's the umbrella.
Blair's the umbrella, for sure.
Oh, Yeah, Blair was Britney. Yeah, she was going for it
because she needed to. Yeah.
That moment where she's like, help me, you know? I was like,
I did get goosebumps. I mean, they do codependent real well.
Yeah, and Blake Lively and Leighton Meester have and always have throughout the show incredible chemistry with each other. Like, mm-hmm. the show doesn't work without those two at all.
For sure.
Yeah, and it reminds me of when Eleanor says that thing about the American Apparel effect. And it always reminds me of that, like, iconic, I mean, yeah, Terry Richardson's a disgusting perv, but that like, amazing photograph of them, like, with the ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
All over my Tumblr. Had to bring it up. Because, yeah, they just, like, they have chemistry. Like, they're just so, it's, like, the perfect kind of, yeah, like, yin-yang best friendship or whatever, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I have to call out Eleanor's people in this, because if they had any common sense at all, they would have had Serena stop fucking around on set, go put on an outfit, and then go do the Britney and Umbrella stuff, because they had so many fun photos.
Huh.
But she's not in Waldorf. She's in, right. like, Serena Vanderwoodson and Couture.
Why can't they do it together? Do they not have the budget? I'm confused.
And, like, when the people go to Eleanor's in the middle of the night, once again, everyone is just showing up at this apartment. They tell her that her own daughter is terrible at modeling. And, like, in today's Nepo Baby discourse, this just would never have happened. It was so unrealistic.
I mean,
really rude. He's like, she's like rigid like a twig. He says something like really like off key. Also, why is he British? Like,
I agree. I mean, I just, it's so harsh. She says in the morning when she's telling Blair the news, like, you're out. She says the harshest words you could hear from your mother, which is, if she were to be in this photo shoot, quote unquote, they feel like we would be doing the brand a disservice. Like,
brutal.
Could you put some grace notes on it? Jeez.
No grace. Oh, no. No, yeah. That's nuts.
Really rough.
Leighton Meester's little acting moment when her mom is going out the door and she's about to call Serena and she just, like, quickly, like, flicks a tear away from her eye. I was like, Emmy Award, give her the Emmy retroactively. It's so good. And then she leaves another voicemail. Like, these teens are always leaving each other voicemails. Like,
voicemail was huge at the time. Voicemail culture.
Was it really? I feel like I have left. I feel like I leave two voicemails a year.
Well, definitely now I'm not about voicemails. But
that's true.
Girl voicemail culture was big. I feel like, yeah.
Voicemails, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was kind of fun. It was like, you'd be like, it's kind of nice. You'd be like, oh, I'm gonna tell you a story, you know? Yeah,
totally. I feel like you would spend sleepovers recording your answering message, or at least I did. Oh, like, your machine message, you'd record.
This is just something that, as a man, I will never understand. This is the the gap once again.
It's our experience.
It's your culture.
I just love talking on the phone, you know.
Oh, cute.
Oh, I love talking on the phone. Just like I don't know, I guess voicemail culture, it like feels like ringtone culture to me a little bit still.
Do you relate to ringtone culture?
Me?
I do. Yeah.
I love ringtones and ring back tones also.
Yeah. Right.
Formative. That was around the same time.
Yeah, it was this.
Yeah, I had Laffy Taffy as my ringtone for probably longer than it should have been my ringtone until I switched it to Just Dance. And then when I got my iPhone, I don't think I've had a ringtone since then, but it's I wish ringtone culture would come back.
I agree. Bring back ringtones. I think I did. I remember one of my ring back tones was Chain Hang Low.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I have not thought about that song in 20 years.
You know, I think about it maybe once a year.
No.
at my annual thing about chain hang. Though.
Back
to our girls.
Back to the girls, yeah.
So Blair shows up to the photo shoot after leaving Serena voicemail saying, like, let's go to the photo shoot because I think, you know, I think we should just go and make fun of whoever they replaced me with. And lo and behold, Serena is modeling the clothes. And she claims, like, they told me we were doing this together. I just feel like that's a bit of willful ignorance on Serena's part.
I mean, for sure.
And so Blair calls her out on it. And they have this really great fight in the stairwell where she says, you take everything from me. Nate, my mom, you can't even help it. It's who you are. She reads her.
That is eviscerating. But it's also, like, Blair is so codependent. Like, she needs Nate. She needs her mom to, like, define her own worth.
Yeah, well, she's young.
Just not strong enough. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, really sad. I mean, after that, I think we'll talk about the fight more when we talk about Serena, but there's a dramatic moment that, Tatiana, I think you mentioned, between Blair and her mom, when the mom says, like, if I lost this deal because of you, I would never forgive myself. And Blair says, I hope you never do, which is, you know what? Slay, mama.
Yeah. Hey, she needed to say it. Yeah. The funny thing is that, you know, that, like, the next time there's a scene with Blair and her mom, it will just be like nothing happened. Yeah. You know, like, it's like such a dramatic showdown. Like, it's brutal stuff, you know, and you know that they're that's what this show is so great at. They just kind of, they have these like really like emotional, like, well, like cathartic moments, and then they're like, actually that shit doesn't change anything, you know, it's, you know, right back to business. And yeah, I doubt Eleanor like lost a wink of sleep, you know. She it's all about her. It's all about the Bendels deal, you know?
Yeah. Gotta get that Bendels deal. Gossip Girl also has a good line here. She says, there comes a moment in every girl's life when she learns her mother might be more messed up than she is. Gossip Girl is learning, getting her footing in these first couple episodes, I feel. She's not performing on 100.
Well, there's like no tips. No one's...
True. Kind people write in.
And it's kind of also that the cast feels quite separated, right? Like, it's like the boys are doing their thing and then the girls are doing their thing, and it's kind of, there's like not as much communal action.
Yeah.
So, and blame.
I feel like the iconic parties in this season don't happen for a few more episodes, and that is in my memory, like, when all of the cast really starts to gel together.
I really remember this episode. I remember, like, the photo shoot at the end, not to, like, jump ahead too much, but, like, that is burned in my burned in my brain. Those, like, the dresses, like, they're, like, matching dresses, like, I literally just recently bought, a little point and shoot, you know, and I was like, oh, my God. It's like it's from that time. That's like the era of the point and shoot, you know? Yeah.
The final scene of this episode is so good. It's so sweet. And also like hilarious song choice too. Like Beautiful Girls by Sean Kingston, iconic, legendary song.
That's my needle drop. I mean, obviously.
That's my needle drop too.
I honestly right now have goosebumps even talking about that scene because it is so sweet. It made me misty-eyed, like just them with the point and shoot in Central Park taking photos of themselves with the horse and oh God. I mean,
that should be the campaign for Eleanor, you know?
She wishes. But she hates the point and shoot. She hates the American Apparel effect, so her loss.
Get it.
Should we get into Serena's episode?
Yeah, let's do it. I gave Serena a B because she cannot help but slay. She can't help it. It's in her nature. But, you know, she's hurting her friend along the way, but she ends up winning her back. And I kind of don't care that she keeps ditching Dan. I feel like she should be allowed to. And that's where I stand.
Love it. Yeah, I agree. I also gave her a B. I thought that she was a pretty good friend this episode. She was on her best behavior. So I actually gave her a lower, like, I would have given her an A. And I love Serena, but, like, not showing up to plans that you set with another person is a big pet peeve of mine. And canceling, like, while he's in line for the movie is, to me, unforgivable in many ways. So that's why I gave him a B, or gave her a B. But that's truly the only reason why.
I was really confused by the, like, how they managed to get so much stuff done in a day. Because when Serena calls Dan to cancel, I'm like, wait, this is the same day. Like, they've done this whole shoot, and then now she's going to a movie at set. Like, it just didn't. They went shopping, then they came back, and they were doing the girly sleepover, and then they were at the photo shoot. I was like, damn, these people, they have more hours in the day. How are they doing it? You know. But
true.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess I'm gonna give her a B minus. I'm gonna give Serena a B minus because I just. She the hair was a slay. Like, I loved the hair and the beautiful. She rocked it. I love that, like, little clip of her, like, sashaying away after you get like, the Serena walk, like the bouncy, like, hair flip back. Like when her and Dan are parting ways, and the when they bump into each other in the street.
Oh, yes.
I just don't, but I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't, but like, how could how could she not have known a little bit, you know, that something was up? Like, is she really that? And maybe she is just like, Serena is kind of a ditzy girl, you know, she's like living in her own dream sort of world. But yeah, I just, part of me is kind of, maybe this is like, the Blair and me, but I'm like, I don't buy it, girl. Like, I don't buy it. Like, that you wouldn't, like, sort of gently put things, kind of something would have come up or something. I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm being too harsh. I don't know.
No, I do and I don't buy it. I do buy it because she's so self-absorbed, but yeah. That's also like, come on, like, you can just zoom out for a moment. But I do love when she runs into Dan and says, oh, see, this is what I love about this city. Okay, did you, like, I don't know, I thought
she also yells across the street, Humphrey, which really made me laugh.
It's very, I don't know, it was very funny to me.
Yeah, this was the funniest moment of the episode for me. Like, everything Blair says in this interaction is
Dan says God, every line in this interaction is so cringe. So yeah, Dan says he picked up a couple Cubans sandwiches, not cigars, and Serena cackles at that hilarious joke. Okay, and then Blair says, I don't know, she comes out of a store and she says, it's called Nolita, not no showers.
Yeah, terrible.
Okay. Oh, yeah. God. I mean, and then to top it off, I don't know why Serena keeps, like, speaking in tongues about hanging out with Dan. She's like, we should get together and not talk. Remember, we can do that thing that you didn't ask me to do.
Yeah,
I've no, what are you talking about?
I love when Serena gets cryptic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that she's talking about, like, sex, but it's still unclear to me. I mean, the only reason I knew she was talking about sex is because Tambourine by Eve played immediately after she said that.
I had assumed that it was, like, related to something in the previous episode where they were like, why don't we stop? This is just why I assume that they were like, we should stop talking and just hang. I don't know, like, kind of a classic Serena Dan interaction. I don't know. Yeah,
it's been unclear.
I found it really confusing. I was like, what are you?
I don't.
When she says the thing, when she, like, they hang up the phone, Oh, they're like on the phone and she's like, I'm hanging up before you something you doth protest or something. I'm like,
yes. Oh God.
Stop it. No, but she gets away with it, you know? Her little, as I call it her like mermaid laugh, you know, where she's like
mermaid. That's so funny. Yeah.
She's a siren. She's a siren ruining sailors' lives.
I mean, she's ruining my life. Like, I am so in the hole for Serena. Like, everything she did this episode, I was like, I support you. I trust you. I believe you. You are acting with positive spiritual intentions. And
come on. You're fooled like the rest of them.
I've been fooled. But I, like, she was such a good friend this episode, like, except for Eleanor's, like, trickery, in quotes. Like, she was so nice and supportive to Blair. I thought she was pretty respectful to Dan outside of the movie thing. Like, she had a good episode.
Yes, she's like trying to make it all work, but she, you know, it's sort of like you can't please everyone, and she's trying to please everyone. Most of all herself.
Yeah.
I hate when she invites Dan to the next photo shoot. Like, what are you thinking? In what world is that like a good date for either of you?
Yeah. It's not a good date. So maybe I should ding her again for that. But her hair looks so good this episode.
Her hair is literally my inspiration. Like, I love it. I love it. She's got big hair, big hair vibes this episode. I'm going to put that on my mood board.
So funny. She does have huge hair in the last scene, or in the second to last scene before they run away together. That is the biggest hair I've ever seen on a woman. At the end near the end when Blair and Serena are fighting in the stairwell, that's when Dan slinks up and, you know, hides behind the wall. And then later they're talking, Serena and Dan are talking as she gets undressed behind this, I don't know, this, what would you call what she's getting undressed behind? You see her silhouette.
Partition or like a, yeah, like a
door.
Like
screen. Yeah, like a screen. Yeah. Just a funny visual. And
when she's I'm like, dude, like, I'm gonna make a sound, but yeah, funny moment.
Yeah.
Should we move on to Dan?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we talked about Dan a lot this week already. Like, I gave him a B just because I thought he was, especially in the scene with Blair, very sweet and supportive. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, he just kind of gets ditched a lot. Like, Blair thinks he is, like, the poorest person in New York, and that is endlessly funny to me. But, that he got a B for me.
That's funny, yeah. And she's like, normally I wouldn't be this close to you without a tetanus shot. Brutal. That's brutal.
The classic Waldorf Reed.
Truly. Yeah. I gave him a C. He was fine. I liked when he and Blair kind of commiserated. And she, I guess, gained some respect for him, even though she said he's ugly and poor. And yeah, he tells Blair that his mom left his family. So that maybe gives some explanation into his tortured soul.
Yeah.
I gave Dan a D.
D for Dan.
I don't know. Yeah, he was just like acting like such a prick. I mean, obviously Serena stood him up. Fair enough. Like, bad vibes, bad move. But there was just so many funny things. Like, there was like the one thing I noticed is like his, every time he was like having a interaction with like the movie teller, or like or like even Eleanor when she's like stops him on the roof, he's like answering every question like super literally, like,
yeah,
he's like, oh, what does he say to the teller? He's like, I guess none, you know?
Yeah How many tickets? None.
He just like says it in such, I'm like, dude, like, it's, your life isn't a movie. I mean, I guess it is because it's like a TV show, but or then when Alan is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I don't even know. You know? Okay, you can take it down. And then there's like this funny moment too where he, because from my memory of Dan, he's like a simp for Serena, right? Like he like loves this girl. He's like obsessed with her. He has like this crush on her. And then he like comes back to the flat and he's like, or to the, yeah, like the, his apartment with Rufus. We're going to have to talk about Rufus because there's some funny necktie. I'm not even going to go there. But yeah, and he's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know about this girl, you know? And I'm like, how did you go from like simp? I mean, I guess, yeah, she did ditch him. So maybe I'm being too harsh, but there's just funny. It's just funny. Like this, the, he's got this kind of attitude on the phone, when they're chatting, like Dan and Serena, he's like, oh, like, I thought I'd have your full attention. Like, he's giving me kind of like incel vibes, like a little bit.
That's it.
And I'm like, bro, just take, like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Pissed me off. So I had to give him a D. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dan. Yeah.
My D this week was reserved for Nate. I thought Nate had a piss poor episode. Like F. Yeah.
He's not passing this class. Like, he's not passing high school. Like, he's
it is a miracle Nate Archibald can get out of bed in the morning. Like, he got taken for a ride this week in every part of his life. He is the most scammed person in New York. It sucks. It really sucks.
Yeah. So Chuck and Nate are doing this weird hazing week where just like guys with popped collars gather in Chuck's apartment and they just like, I don't know, have sex with sex workers and drink a lot. what high schoolers are, I don't know. I also, okay, so I gave Nate a C actually, because I mean, he does get played for a fool, but he's also having some sort of like enlightenment light, you know? I mean, he's enlightened and then he's taken for a fool, but he's starting to see there's life outside the Upper East Side.
Though that life does involve putting on a drug rug and getting sucked into the Russian mob somehow after doing work in like post Katrina New Orleans.
So yeah,
you shooting a documentary. What is? I mean, just come
Machu Picchu. Yeah, so thrift store Chuck, as I called him, Carter Bazin, mm-hmm. Which
played by Sebastian Stan.
Hot guy.
Hot guy.
Fat. I'm gonna. Carter Bazin was my crush, you know.
Like, yeah, that's a good answer.
But he did it for me. Yeah, I'm not, because he comes back later, right? He's like comes back into the.
He does.
I think he does as a. And someone needs to keep me honest. I think he aligns himself with Georgina, right?
Maybe.
Am I crazy?
I don't know. I think they like had a little fling at some point.
Yeah, that's a gruesome too. So.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh my god, wow, you guys are really gonna have so much fun.
Wait, where are we on drug rugs, by the way?
No. Nope.
That's a no for me. I like a drug rug.
No.
People also call these Baja sweaters. I mean, like
the jack. No, come on. They're like,
warm. They're really warm.
College, I think it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe in the comfort of your own home.
Maybe in the countryside, you know, somewhere in like Vermont, maybe.
Even still, like the material's not cozy. I wouldn't even want to wear it. Inside.
They're very itchy.
They're scratchy and rough.
The itchiest thing you can put on your body. But I don't know. I there's something about them. I saw it and I was like, I'm charmed by this. I'm completely charmed by this.
Oh, God. I so disagree.
But mind you, I find Rufus hot. So the like these two things are like they're unrelated, probably.
Definitely has, what did you call them? What are they called?
Drug rug?
Drug rugs.
Definitely has a drug rug, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Stash toys.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so Nate kind of gets wooed by Carter because Carter acts like this big enlightened guy who turned away. He says he, once you turn away from money, you see it doesn't buy you freedom. It pays for your prison. And he says he's cleaned up post-Katrina and like filmed at Machu Picchu. I don't know. But he basically cons him into like a card game where he bets too much money and loses because Carter is like in with the card sharks, I guess.
Yeah, he's like somehow affiliated with these Russian guys.
Yeah.
And they're playing at a banquet hall in Queens. Like, the funniest moment of the episode for me was Nate Googling on his phone where how to get to Queens.
Yeah, they're like on the slidey weird that phone. Those phones were funny because then that was like a it's like a whole contraption, you know. You have to like flick it. Yeah, man, the phones were really crazy back then. But yeah, the location, I was like, where is that? Like, where are they filming this? Like, what's the spot, you know?
Well, I think we can, I mean, kind of transition into Chuck.
Oh, wait, we have to talk. Nate found out that his dad has, like, scammed him as well.
Right. Okay, this.
His dad robbed him.
Yeah, yeah. His dad drained his account. And that deserves a minus on whatever grade he's getting.
I think if I'm going to downgrade to a D minus, I'm going all the way down to F. I think, Tatiana, you've talked us into the F here.
That like phone call with his accountant or whatever. Oh, my God. I mean, yeah, he's like, oh, I was just in my account and like my trust fund's been drained, you know. And he's just like so helpless and clueless. Like his eyes are just glazed over. I mean, it's amazing. He does it so well.
To be fair, his eyes are always glazed over. Like Nate Archibald is like glazed at all times.
Yeah, but and there was just so many funny things that he said where he was like, it's like the sort of like fake deep thing, like, the real world, like there's a real world out there, and like this is, and I mean Chuck is like despicable, but he's kind of right. He's like, what are you talking, like he's like, what are you talking about, dude, you know, like there's this episode, Nate really he lost it.
Chuck finally got it after 3 weeks of pretty poor performances. This was a great episode for Chuck Bass.
Yeah, I actually gave Chuck an A because he comes to Nate's rescue. He realizes that Carter stole his Piaget, and I think that's how you say it, his fancy watch. And he says, all right, he comes to his rescue. He says, keep the watch. And just leave Nate alone or I'll call the cops. And that is best friend behavior. I also love, I don't know, Chuck was on good behavior for me. He tells Carter to go jump into a volcano. Basically calls him a hypocrite for like, he's eating his food and like, you know, eating on Chuck's dime while preaching whatever he's preaching.
Yeah, Chuck nailed it. And he had a lot of the best lines, I thought.
Yeah.
Looks like Matthew McConaughey between movies. I thought that was
He went to the Blair Waldorf School of Reads. He's said a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah, and then he was like, remember, don't dip your shillelagh. I don't even know what that is.
Old
wrong. I thought that was amazing. Yeah,
so I also agreed it was amazing. Also, the reason that I gave Chuck a B this week, I did not believe that these rich kids were spending their like lost weekend of debauchery at an Irish pub. I think this show is really good at being outrageous, but still sort of believable for what these characters would do. Mm-hmm. There's no way Chuck Bass is going to like O'Flanagan's or whatever. Like, I'm sorry, that's just the plausible. The lost.
I kind of get it because it's a boys' weekend. That's a place where men gather, perhaps.
I was obsessed with the line out the door of that place, like club, that was funny to me. And also the Shamrock girls who were kissing all the guys on their way in, like when like soccer players run onto the field, that was hilarious to me. But yeah.
Okay, we need to talk about Rufus and Lily. I hate a Rufus storyline. I mean, I gave them both Fs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rufus gets an F just on the little necklace shoestring thing he had on. I mean, that's just
unforgivable.
Unacceptable. Yeah, you can't be rocking that.
No.
Come on, you know. Yeah, brutal.
And I just don't care about like Rufus's love life at all. Unless like sort of with Lily, I guess, but the core plot here is that Rufus's art gallery is visited by this art buyer who is played by a woman I used to watch on a show called Royal Pains, whose name I cannot remember for the life of me. But she's like flirting with him over and like passing business cards and stuff, like, which is a very 2007 way to flirt. And it turns out that she's bought the painting for Lily. And also that the painting is Rufus's ex-wife's.
Green's wife. Yeah, so Lily comes to the gallery with the painting and says, you know, like, your wife said she hated me while wearing a slip dress and Doc Martens, and returns the painting to Rufus because bad energy, I guess.
Yeah.
The painting's mid, I'm sorry.
It was so horrible.
And it's so funny when they're like, it's extraordinary. It's so complicated. Actually, it looks like, what's that thing, like the Rorschach test, you know, like when you like...
Yeah, I think so. Lot.
Yeah, because like, what's so extra? She's like, it's like an early bacon. I'm like, Jesus. Someone needs to shut this art gallery down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, it's like I have to fast forward through these scenes, or I have to really shut my brain off and make myself focus. I can't stand Rufus. It's going to be a rough season. He's got a lot of airtime.
And Rufus, he brings down Lily too, because I like Lily. I think she serves every episode consistently, but like these two together, it's mm-hmm. just not,
mm-hmm.
not it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, like, maybe back in the day, but at this stage, come on, Lily, like...
Get together, girl.
Like, you got the perfect blonde updo, like, you don't need Rufus, like...
Oh.
And that little pep talk he does with Dan, too. They're both just, like, so sad together.
Annoying. They're just annoying, man.
I'm with you.
Okay,
but move on to final segments.
Yeah, let's end on a high note with our final segments. So, needle drop of the week. I said Tambourine by Eve because I don't know. It was really just kind of the ba-dumps of the Dan and Serena in the middle of the street interaction for me. I thought it was just so funny.
Yeah, very, very funny. Also, great song, too. I love that song. It's also commercials here now, too. Like, I hope Eve is getting paid, like, millions and millions and millions of dollars for that song. Mine was Moon River. The first of many appearances on the show of Moon River when they, in the Breakfast at Tiffany's dream, it's such an overplayed music cue, but it's so appropriate for this show. And Blair is such a little... Audrey Hepburn wannabe. Like, how could you not?
Yeah, I thought I was gonna choose the little Carmen, the from Bizet, the little opera snippet, but I have to pick, yeah, Beautiful Girls. You know, I mean, that's just like one of my all-time favorite songs from that era,
mm-hmm.
and it just perfectly soundtracked that iconic scene at the end, you know.
Yeah. It soundtracked my outfit of the week as well, which was Serena's Hermes hair scarf that she wears with Blair's like matching dresses. Like that was, I love that look. It was very hair centric. And I think Serena just had a very hair centric episode.
Serena was serving hair the whole episode. I really liked Blair wiping away a single tear in her like adorable black tulle nightgown. She has a lot of good pajama wear. I also cell phone watch real quick. The Voyager flip phone that we mentioned before that kind of flips into a T.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah. Different.
Mm-hmm. Never been seen before. Never be done again.
Ever since. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really trying something out there. So what is it? Outfit of the week?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really liked Serena with the big hair, the photo shoot. Not my favorite dress, but she was like really working it. I also wanted to do a little shout out to Chuck's gym outfit when he's going.
Oh my god.
Because I mean, just the audacity to put something like that together. He's also wearing a headband, by the way, because I know that headbands are pretty popular on the show. So thought that was kind of funny, but I just like gasped when I saw him get out of the car. It's like, wow.
Maybe not. Bring that up.
Pick up basketball.
It's a shocking outfit for
shocking. Okay, yeah.
And Carter shows up in full cargo pants and like a brown hemp corduroy shirt. Like, yeah. Not appropriate. I cannot believe I forgot about Chuck's outfit. Like, that's so
crawled out of the sewer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's then
like, I don't know, yeah, like someone who doesn't know anything about, who's never even heard of basketball, and someone's like, you need to, you know, create an outfit, and that's what he came up with, you know. It's just,
I mean, Carter crawled out of the sewer and Chuck like looks like he belongs on a cereal box or something.
You can't say him.
Yeah, he looks absurd. Okay, best line read. I have a lot of thoughts on this one, but I'm gonna let you guys go first so I can gather my thoughts and decide.
I have a clear winner.
You have the floor.
It's from Dan. And it's when he's talking to Rufus about Blair, and he says, "She's everything I hate about the Upper East Side distilled into one 95-pound doe-eyed, bon mot tossing, label whoring package of girly evil." Like, Redditor Phil. Like, it's so perfect. I loved it. I loved hearing it. I want to memorize it. It's great. Yeah, he smashed it. He smashed it with that one.
I'm so glad you wrote that down, because I love that quote.
I had to go back and like rewind just to make sure I got it right, because I was like, this is too good, you know?
It is too good. Mine, I think I'm going to go with just an incredibly stupid Serena line, read with kind of the suggestion of a pout. She says to Dan after the fight with Blair in the stairwell, she says, "So my best friend doesn't trust me, and neither does the guy I like." Just so childish and stupid, and just made me laugh when I heard it. Like, who wrote that bit of dialogue?
So funny.
I also like Chuck saying, "Don't put your shillelagh in the wrong pot of gold." We already shouted that.
My line of the week was from Blair Waldorf. "I'm going to go to Tory Burch to look at ponchos." Loved it.
Ponchos, like, ponchos were having a moment in 07.
And Tory Burch ponchos were very much having a moment. Like, every mom we went to middle school and high school with in Potomac had a Tory Burch poncho. It's...
I'm looking them up.
They're Lily Pulitzer adjacent. To me, bully of the week and victim of the week were very clear. With Carter being the bully, and for me, Nate being the victim. Like, Nate got scammed out of every single dollar and cent that he had. I just, the ultimate form of victimhood in the Gossip Girl universe.
Yeah, I said Carter was the bully because he was a quiet con man. And I thought, I felt Blair as the main victim of this episode, because she's victimized by her mom, her best friend, and that's pretty much it. But that those are two bad people to be victimized by.
Yeah, I gave Bully to Eleanor Waldorf.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
A very good choice.
The top of the episode with the croissant, the yogurt. To the very end. I mean, just deeply, deeply disturbed behavior, you know. And I mean, Blair's kind of like the hearing you guys. Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense. For some reason, I picked Dan because just this attitude of like being such a like, I don't know, just he just gave me like maybe I'm kind of more like the victim mentality. Like he was just being so soppy and so like woe is me about things that, like, don't really matter. But maybe I might have to rethink that. I might have to maybe I'll give it to Blair. But yeah, for some reason Dan just rubbed me the wrong way this episode. He just seemed like really pathetic.
I like that answer because he really did play, he played the victim this week. He was in his mind. He was victim of the week. He was saying that the whole time.
There was just this funny moment too where like Serena like hugs him and he's like shocked that she's like the look on his face. I'm like, dude, like pull it together, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, you're okay. You're fine.
You, like, relax, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's oh God. I don't remember at what point we start liking Dan as a character. Are we supposed to like him already? I don't know. But maybe it's just I've grown older and wiser and yeah. I'm no longer falling for it.
So the final segment we have is XOXO, the cultural thing that we want to recommend this week.
Hmm.
That's not Gossip Girl related.
When you say thing, what does that like? What does that mean? Like any? Like
in truly anything. Last week mine was tin sardines. This week my cultural thing is the new album Still by Erica DeCasier. I think it is really wonderful. It's great, kind of quiet storm Y2K R&B. I'm loving it. It's really just very good, kind of late winter, early spring album.
Drew, the way you consume new music is it's aspirational. I feel like you're always listening to new music.
Are you an album listener? Do you like to like listen to an album all the way through?
For people that I like, my system is that if I have a bunch of singles from an album saved, mm-hmm. I will listen to the whole album
mm-hmm.
and then go from there. But that I've liked her for a really long time. Her 2021 album Sensational was my favorite album of 2021, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, she's amazing. I love her first record so much. Yeah. She's great.
Julia, do you have anything this week?
Yeah, this is obviously not Gossip Girl related, but almost Gossip Girl related because it's about eating disorders. It's a book called Dead Weight by Emmeline Klein. It came out, I think it was last week, but I got it on my Kindle because I've been waiting for it to come out because I'm writing a book not on eating disorders, but about like diet culture. And I thought this would be good to inform it. And it is just so good and I'm loving it. So highly recommend.
Love it. I'm trying to think. Okay, well, I'm going to recommend something that I recommend to lots of my friends who sometimes call me crazy, but I really, there's this, if you're like witchy in any way or, you know, like tarot or anything like that, you should get into or look into the I Ching, which is like a Chinese divination system. And there's a website called the I Ching Online. I think it's called iChingOnline.net or something dot. I think it's .net. But I really swear that it's like a real like portal. Like it's kind of a janky early 2000 kind of website that is kind of hard, kind of can be hard to use. But I like to just pop in a question in there every now and then, and it will give you this answer from this, yeah, kind of ancient Chinese text. And it's really, it's kind of fun. It's like a fun way to clarify your emotions and feelings. So that's my recommendation.
I have never bookmarked something so quickly in my life.
Oh, great. It really feels like it feels like a portal to me. Like I'm like this, there's something magical about this website. So have fun with it. Yeah. Okay.
And obviously we would like to recommend It's Over by Tatiana out March 22nd on Cinderland Records. Very, very exciting.
London, come to my show. It's on the same day. It's a release party. It's going to be really fun. There might be cake.
Man, I wish we could fly out for that too. That sounds fun.
Sure, I'll be in the States or something soon, you know. So, yeah.
And where can people find you on social media?
They can follow me on Instagram, is probably best. I'm not much of a TikTok user, but Instagram is just my name, Tatiana. It's that's Tatiana with it's before it. So ITS, Tatiana, it's Tatiana. Yeah. I feel like I made that the most confusing way possible, but you'll find.
Well, we'll be linking it to it in the show notes, so no worries. You can find us on TikTok at Julia Gray OK. And I feel like my personal Twitter is sort of the de facto show Twitter, though we will fix that eventually. We will work on that eventually. But you can find me at FKA Pigs with a Z and for more pop updates and me talking about Lady Gaga like every single day of my life. But
great Twitter.
Thank you. I don't think so, but I appreciate
you do. I was literally leisurely scrolling through them yesterday, just like,
oh my god,
tweets.
You shouldn't do that for too long. That's like radiation exposure. Don't do that.
It's perfect.
And wait, okay, so we gotta sign off now.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening.
So much for having me. This was really
Thank you for coming. Oh my god, you were such a good guest. This was.
Wait, are we going to do XOXO?
Yes. So,
okay. I just.
Here's what I was thinking. I would go XOXO and you would go Girls Room. How about that?
Okay. Sounds good.
Try that. Right. All right. Bye, everyone. XOXO.
Girls Room.